Turn over to Matthew 23. It's a really bad place to start, but our visit will be kind of innocent and light. We are covering a wide breadth of matters today, and though you are used to receiving things in greater depth, there'll be opportunities for you to bring your own depth to the message today and make of it what you will, which will be evidenced by your lives, not necessarily by your words, and I am satisfied with that scenario. We have a humble but important message today. Humble in that what we are covering is not necessarily earth-shattering. There will be tidbits here and there that'll be, you know, will rock the best of you. However, humbling in that it's just absolutely necessary and will probably be difficult to capture the attention and the imaginations of people who've been overstuffed, overfed, and have quail coming out of their nostrils and still are hungry. So, it'll be what it'll be. I have often said and reiterate today that I am closest spiritually to those who are closest to God. And the message today has a lot to do with the fact that in a ministry, just as in the Bible, we see that people want to be close to people, and yet the real deal is that people who are close to God and the fellowship those people have together is in a whole different league. Our title is Honor My God. Now, what makes God great is not that He's mine, so we have to get that straight, because some people think I'm presumptuous and arrogant off the bat, that, you know, what makes God great is that, you know, I've chosen Him. As demonstrated in every scriptural way, I have stumbled upon the one true God, and we can address that and have addressed that in part, and we can do it in totality another day, another time, or you could just consider it. But as Andrew, Peter's brother, in John 1, found Jesus and went immediately to Peter and said, "We have found the Christ," knowing that the time would come when the Christ would be found, when He would appear, "We have found it." Well, I have found it. And I am now calling you not to hang out with me, but to honor my God. You'll see that phrase throughout the scriptures. You should be able to speak that way with a testimony and a life that demonstrates that the one you found is the actual one and the only one. Then with great weight, you could say such things. But our title is Honor My God. I have such a great appreciation for those who worship and serve and follow the one real true God. The fact that you overcome habits that are lifelong, you overcome proclivities and inclinations that are innate and learned and developed in a sinful nature, that you discard and identify and reject all falsehoods, of which there are many, that despite everyone in your ear with a contrary gospel and a different gospel, which Galatians 1 we know is no gospel at all, and people with great ideas and wanting you to be something that they like, that you throw that off and still worship and steadfastly follow the one true God. I mean, I have endless great appreciation for such people. They are very rare, of course, but I mean, I know the road that must be walked and the strictness which must be lived to hold steadfastly and, as the Bible would say, unswervingly to the path of the one true God. With that said, we're going to cover a lot of ground, so we probably should start, have already started. In Matthew 23, verses 8 to 10, Jesus speaking, and this has to do with us and God. All right? Work with me here. Verse 8. Jesus says, "But you are not to be called rabbi, for you have only one master, and you are all brothers. And do not call anyone on earth father, for you have one father, and he is in heaven. Nor are you to be called teacher, for you have one teacher, the Christ. These are familiar verses, but in the issue of us and God, there is this great interfering noise called like people. People with names and titles and people who receive reverence and sort of stature in the eyes of men that comes in the way of your relationship with God. One at a time in verse 8, but you are not to be called rabbi, quote unquote, for you have only one master and you are all brothers. You know, the whole point that Jesus is making, it's Matthew 23, which is pretty late. I mean, Jesus is about to hit the cross. Is that the regard that people have for people is way too high. It's also very fickle, we know. We'll see in a minute. It's also very fickle. I mean, you go from being a big fan of someone to really maybe hating someone. Back to thinking they're okay, back to thinking they are great, I was right in the first place, back to thinking they're not all that, and maybe they're even worse than that, and maybe I was right in the second place, back to thinking, well, let me just see how it goes. You know, the problem in all of that is that people are in the way of your deal that's supposed to be with God. That in Matthew 23, which is a little late in the game, Jesus has to address things to get people out of the way of your relationship with God. But you are not to be called rabbi, for you have only one master and you are all brothers. It's like the point of verse 8 is let's get down to one master. You know, even Romans 14, you know, to your own master, you stand or fall. Let's get down to one capital M master, get all the people out of the way, other than the ways in which the Bible will put them into your life. But let the Bible do that. But like the Israelites wanting a king, we just want somebody who can go between us and God. And yet that one mediator is Christ, which we teach lost people, as Paul writes in 1 Timothy. That the one mediator between God and man is the man, Jesus Christ, not like Rabbi Phil. And in your deal with God, people are just constantly in the way. And unfortunately, we are not spiritual enough to honor my God. And therefore, we end up being people who have people in the way, and those people in the way matter. You're not supposed to regard people that highly, but you are not to be called rabbi, for you have only one master, and you are all brothers. I don't know how many times the message equals has to prove itself, but you are all brothers. That's all you are. Well, I'm this kind of brother. Well, I'm that kind of brother. That's great. I mean, you're going to have to go talk to a tree that gives a rip. I mean, I don't know. You're not going to talk to me about it, right? I mean, I'm fine with it. When it comes to stature, this is how it is. Now, when it comes to ultimate stature for me, my question is, do you honor my God? You know, not are you nice to me and do you treat me well, but do you honor the God I honor? Do you worship the God I worship? Do you revere the God I revere? Because I happen to have stumbled upon the real one, and there is only one. And that is the question to be asked. But where we stand brother to brother, it is all brothers. Again, really, the case equals the case. Jesus trying to clear up the landscape before he goes to the cross as to who's who. Verse 9, and do not call anyone on earth father, for you have one father, capital F, and he is in heaven. I has to say that or we'd go looking, wouldn't we? Now, let me find that guy. Do not call anyone on earth father, for you have one father, and he is in heaven. We know, and I'm not getting into it, we know that huge groups and gatherings, denominations of people just violate these verses right, left, and center and think nothing of it despite what Jesus said. I'm not making that point today. That's an obvious thing for different people, but I'm talking to you. And do not call anyone on earth father, for you have one father and he is in heaven. You know, cut your, just to help you out, I mean, cut your parents a little break, huh? I mean, is it all right if the one father, capital F, that you got to deal with and handle is the one in heaven? If you get that straight, then you might cut your parents a little break here and there. You might cut them a little slack and say, oh, you know, they are people on earth. And you know what that's like, right? To be a person on earth. You know how like confusing that can be, how burdensome that can be, right? You understand, right? It's like my parents smoked when I was a kid. Once I became a teenager, though, oh, I understood smoking because I understood slavery to my own sin. Granted, it wasn't smoking, but immediately I was like, well, I get it now. I understand it now. As a kid, I didn't get it. But once I got up to like age 12, I was like, oh, I'm on board. I get it. It's rough being on earth. See, I have long said, and it's still true, and you need to watch these front row seats, you know, I'll just slather you. I have long said that I had the best parents in the history of parents, which is true. I mean, it's true. The beauty of it, though, is that I don't have to put Mimi Pop on the pedestal of being the capital F and the capital M in heaven. I see them and, hey, they got to slay it out on earth, and I know what that's like. And they were given zero example where I was actually given an example. They were given nothing and sent on their way at a very young age, good luck, and pulled it off. That's a miracle to me and amazing to me. But I don't lop onto them, lay onto them, the incredible burden of being the capital F Father who is in heaven. And you can cut your parents a little bit of slack that they're on the same earth you're on. And I could go off on that forever. And the only thing I got to do with Mimi Papa that might seem a little bit rough is to help them grapple with my God and honor Him. But and there's nothing they've done that's cost me anything. Nothing they've done that's hurt me in terms of eternally or even that I hold now. Christ fixed all that. A lot of you have a lot of healing to do with those simple facts that just remain unhealed, undealt with, unhandled, still with bitternesses and attitudes at your very own parents, but you got one Father and He's in heaven, and did you have something for Him? Was it something you needed to tell Him? Something you need to mouth off about? Oh, no, I got you. It's just the guy down the street or down the hall or up the state, wherever. You got something to say about him. How did you get there? You understand the burdens, right? Oh, I'm sure you're perfect. But God is trying to clear the landscape because even disciples of Jesus will spend their whole life with bitter attitudes at people or favorable, overly, almost idolatrous attitudes at people and miss God altogether and never be able to honor my God. Do not call anyone under a father, for you have one Father and He is in heaven. That's where He's located. Take it up with Him. Nor are you to be called teacher. For you have one teacher, the Christ. Nor are you to be called teacher, for you have one teacher, the Christ. Here's another thing. You guys are going to get together. I hope you're not confused that you're getting together by groups. I hope people know the language. Anyway, if not, I guess we'll find out soon enough, and then we'll know. But nor are you to be called teacher, for you have one teacher, the Christ. I know how it is when you get together, and I won't be there anymore, so I just would be probably in my closet quaking in fear. I know how it is. You show up. Oh, Jamie's here. I wonder what he's got for us. But it's just so wrong. It's just so wrong. It's like, you know, Jamie will teach us something. He's always got something to share. He won't let us talk about basketball. He'll bring it. He's serious. Cool. What's Jamie got for us? It's like a total violation of the scripture. No doubt there will in fact be fathers in Christ. You can read the Bible and then you have to like work it and understand context. No doubt, I mean, Paul was that for the Corinthians. No doubt there will be teachers. They are in the Bible. But you do not see somebody like Jamie as, oh, teacher, teach us something. But you actually come as a disciple of Jesus like, I'm going to take care of Jamie. That guy is incomplete but serious and I'm going to see him through. The odds of that happening are greatly remote. Milk Brothers, you can participate in a way that Jamie will take it. And your efforts and help will bear fruit forever. Because you're dealing with someone who will listen. And take it and do it. But we regard each other as, oh, that person's in charge. I guess we'll just hang out and see what they brought. And it's just so wrong. It's in the way of your relationship with God. For you have one teacher, capital T, the Christ. That one teacher is available to everyone. Okay, like it's available, he's available to you and me. But you don't have to get in line behind me. You can just go. You have to honor my God and stop putting men on the pedestal in the way of that. Acts chapter 14. In Acts chapter 14, I'm going to briefly touch on us with each other. Another thing in the way of you honoring my God, the real one. See, I'm not going to, if I say, you know, honor God, that is subject to your interpretation. But as Jesus said in, you know, I know it's a long time ago, you know, make God's case clear in you, the message. I know it's forever ago and long forgotten. But in that, the autobiographical series of scriptures in the church in Sardis in Revelation 3, verses 1 to 3, that was very autobiographical for this group. And in it, Jesus said, among other things, your deeds are not complete in the sight of my God. And so, I am requiring you, by my own life and my own deal, which should not interfere with your relationship with God, but help you in it, to honor the God I honor, which will look a particular way, as opposed to sending you off to, you know, go honor God, whatever you think that means, which will look the way it currently looks. But I'm requiring of you that it look more like my deal than your deal. And I'm sorry, but that's the scriptures and that's the way it is. And that's what Jesus brought to the real church in Sardis. And it's what I'm bringing to you. There are a lot of things in the way of you and your relationship with God that we just read. Here's another one. Check this out. This is fantastic, but so common. In Acts chapter 14, Paul heals a crippled guy. You know, that fascinates most people. I mean, I'm just not really fascinated. But I know for most people, it's like, oh my goodness. You know, it's time to party and celebrate the fact that, you know, no one got the Holy Spirit. No one got baptized. No one got converted. It's just something happened that you know, was a miracle to them. Okay. Amen. Certainly one of the ways the Holy Spirit let them know that a new regime was in town, and amen, for that day, amen. I go off on that forever, but won't. I don't have a problem healing anybody, but in Acts 14, verse 11, when the crowd saw what Paul had done, they shouted in the Lyconian language, "The gods have come down to us in human form." Barnabas they called Zeus, and Paul they called Hermes because he was the chief speaker. The priest of Zeus, whose temple was just outside the city, brought bulls and wreaths to the city gates because he and the crowd wanted to offer sacrifices to them. Verse 18, after explaining the situation, appealing to the people, and trying to take charge of the situation and get it back to God. Verse 18, even with these words, Paul and Barnabas, they had difficulty keeping the crowd from sacrificing to them. You can read the words, we're not going through that. Verse 11, when the crowd saw what Paul had done, they shouted in the Lyconian language, "The gods have come down to us in human form." You know, always beware of the crowd. The crowd is very unpredictable. It'll be cheering one moment and booing the next. It'll be happy one moment and bum the next. It'll be supportive one moment and murderous the next. It'll be singing and joyous one moment and downcast the next. You know people like that, right? I see people like that, laughing one moment, then downcast, then laughing. I'm like, who are you? Anyway, crowds are like that. So beware the crowd always. When the crowd saw what Paul had done, they shouted in the Lyconian language, "The gods have come down to us in human form." I got news for you. There is no end in sight to wild conclusions. And I'm not necessarily going to be able to ever do anything about it. They're just wild conclusions that are made, even in our own number. See, these are lost people here, amen. But even in our own number, there are wild conclusions that are reached. So they just conclude the gods have come down to us in human form, exclamation point, it's happened. The question for you is like, is it the Bible? I mean, is the gig that the gods come down to us in human form? Our question is always, is this the Bible? Because the only thing that's ever going to be able to protect you and keep you from wild, out of control conclusions about God, about me, about you, about the Bible, is the Bible. Otherwise, everything's possible. Verse 12, Barnabas they called Zeus. I mean, we've heard of Zeus, right? The mythical figure. Zeus is here. It's like, this is insane. Barnabas they called Zeus, and Paul they called Hermes because he was a chief speaker. So mythology has come to life. There is no end to the running train of bad ideas. There's no end to the faucet of insanity that will come from people. We are so easily misled. I'm telling you, I encounter dumb, bad, horrible, godless ideas out of the mouths of people all day. And I recognize them as misguided, incorrect, not right, and not to be followed ideas. But many of us still are so easily led. That sounds great. Oh, what are we doing? Okay, fine. Oh, what's on? What happened? What'd you say? Oh, okay. And I'm like, you know, you could wake up. You could honor my God. See, we don't live like that, but you do. Someone said something dumb and off you go. How does that happen? If you have a relationship with the God I have a relationship with, it is far more compelling than the mumblings of men. And yet the mumblings of men through the calculus of, well, I don't want to offend, and well, I'm not really doing anything anyway, and well, that sounds fun, all comes together in a collection of a mess, and we, in our relationships with each other, clutter the landscape with this kind of a scenario. I mean, Zeus and Hermes? These are ridiculous ideas and conclusions that are similar to what you do with your time and your efforts and your opportunities. Verse 13, it gets worse. The priest of Zeus, whose temple was just outside the city, brought bulls and wreaths to the city gates because he and the crowd wanted to offer sacrifices to them. And see, it matters. It's like he and the crowd wanted to offer sacrifices to them. I mean, the worst ideas and the worst conclusions and paths started on are born out of some kind of want. This ministry is not immune to it, and yet I'm amazed that hearts do not burn saying, this is insane, this is crazy, I might as well call myself Zeus, I might as well, you know, welcome Hermes next door, I might as well get a bull and some chocolates and some flowers and go offer them in the street. I mean, come on. Because they wanted to offer sacrifices, they go through this. They bring bulls and wreaths to the city gates, and it's on, party's on. And there's no one to stop the madness. At some point, those who honor my God, I'm talking for real, stop the madness. They stop the saltless conversations. They redirect the fruitless, productiveless, unproductive, pointless, godless directions of effort. Otherwise, there's no end in sight. Both those in the ministry who are weak and dull and those completely lost are going to lead you into madness if you don't stop it. and it's up to you to stop it. You do not see me get misled, 1 Corinthians 15. You can look it up. Do not be misled. Bad company corrupts good character. I can hang out with naked prostitutes doing drugs all day because I won't be misled in it. Okay? But you will be misled, and therefore bad company corrupts good character. All because you get misled in it. You have to think about that and want to work that through. But you get misled in it. It starts with being misled. It's like, oh, I'm not being misled. It's like, but you're all in. All of a sudden, you're doing something that was brought up by someone dumb. And you're all in. Paul makes great efforts. I mean, they tear their clothes, they rush out, they appeal, they plead. You'd think if Zeus and Hermes were talking, they'd be listened to. But oh no, that's what you need to understand. These people are mad. It's like Zeus and Hermes have now decided to speak some more. But oh no, man, we're not listening to them. We are going to sacrifice to them. They make great appeals, verse 18. Even with these words, they had difficulty keeping the crowd from sacrificing to them. Even with these words, they had difficulty. We're not there yet, but one of the hopes that I would have for us is that it would not be difficult here to see each of us as equal. It would not be difficult here to see each of us as brothers. That it would not be difficult here to get people to serve and honor my God rather than seeking something else. Like, I don't know, talking to me. It's like, I don't want to read your God's words, Trent. I want to talk to you. It should not be difficult to refer you to the Bible, but it is. Even with these words, they had difficulty keeping the crowd from sacrificing to them. We've got to be easier than this crowd. I mean, I don't know how many times I have to say it. But it's like I got two things to offer. I mean, this is the best I got, all right? I'm a well-educated man. I went to school for 21 straight years. I am not to be messed with, right? I've been in the Lord 18 years. That's a long time. I refer to dates and times and places, and you guys look on the map and you go, I was one. Oh, I was four. I know. But I've boiled it down. I have two things to offer us. I have two ideas. One is better than the other, but they run one and two. Okay? And I'm just, there's no room in this. There's no room in this for you to choose an option three. You know, say you want to just hang out or get together or whatever. I mean, the best thing I can give you is we're going to honor my God. That's the best thing I can give you. You're going to do that for real. The second best thing I can give you is crazy. That is, we're going to try to find a way to work our way into Adore's pants or Sultan's pants. That's what I got. Now, you may be someone with a lot of other ideas that are interesting to you. I don't know. I don't hear it. You know, you just aren't open. But that's what I got. Those are the best two things we can do. And they run one and two. You have other ideas that are just like boring. But you could be open about you and we could work you. And you could honor my God and those things will burn off. Hey, I had many interests too. I mean, they just burned off. But you don't need to be somebody seeking fellowship with me, because I got nothing for you short of honor my God other than plan two, which isn't happening. So I leave you as orphans in the kingdom of heaven, but that's it. That's what we got. I'm no Zeus. I'm no Hermes. And neither is anybody else. And this is all we got. And you can read on your own verses 14 to 17 in the appeal that Paul and Barnabas made to try to get people to honor their God and understand that they didn't have anything going on, like I don't have anything going on, other than the God they serve. Isaiah 65. I got to pick up the pace, so I will do so, because I am a friend of the producer. Isaiah 65. So us with each other, us with God, some cluttered mess in there that can be cleaned up. You talk to me about me, it's pretty tidy. I mean, it's a pretty tidy gig I got going as to what the options are. Let me tell you a little bit about God. First, I start off with, you know, poor God. To be honest with you, I feel like that a lot. I feel like, man, poor God. And I'm sure God feels like he told me to feel, which is like, oh, poor God really isn't appropriate, I'm sure God would say. The same way, you know, shall I say, oh, poor poo-poo. I'm like, oh, that'll really never be the case, but I hear you. I understand, because I'm like, poor God. Isaiah 65, verse 2. All day long I have held out my hands to an obstinate people who walk in ways not good, pursuing their own imaginations. God can speak. Verse 2, all day long. That's quite a while. All day long I have held out my hands. You know, if I hold out my hands to my cat, well, if I hold out my hands to Zena, my dog, she will come check it out. Zena. If I hold out my hands to Pancake, our cat, you know, cats are aloof. Cats don't care, don't like people, all this. Yeah, yeah, cat lovers. Pancake is not that way. He will come check out what I got in my hand that I'm holding out to him. What about you? Because God says that all day long I have held out my hands. Have you checked it out? I mean, have you evaluated, found out what it is? On your own, really. You're like, well, we haven't gotten together in a while, you know, brother. Go easy on us. I thought we covered that. Just that you hadn't gotten with Jamie in a while where he brought some teachings for you really was supposed to be okay. That it's actually God, and I say poor God, is all day long holding out his hands. And like, what is in there that you've rejected, or what is in there, have you seen it? Or are you duller than Pancake and Zena? The problem you'll find is that all day long I have held out my hands to an obstinate people. That from a distance is like, ah, I know it's in there. Ah, sure, it's the same old thing. Make a list. An obstinate people. People who will stubbornly, just stubbornly and wrongly, and it just doesn't matter, I will not become different. I want you, God, to know, and everyone to know, that I will be me, and I will be steadfast and stubborn and undefeatable in it, as pointless and stupid as it is. So here's poor God, all day long, holding out his hands that my animals would come to me, not even, you know, offering what God offers, to an obstinate people. And it's like, well, maybe these people, you know, don't really need, who walk in ways not good, pursuing their own imaginations. Look. You're going to have to bring your own life to the message, you know, and your own efforts. I'm giving you breath today, all right? But I'm like, you know, I had many ways that were not good, and, you know, they've been narrowed down. I had many imaginary and imaginative plans and plots and ideas, and I don't anymore. I am a dreamer in accordance with the scriptures, aren't you? For instance, I mean, what? I wonder often, what are you thinking all day? You know, I mean, letter-wise, I get about 18 thank yous a day from the sisters on various matters. About 18 a day, and letter-wise. And then I get really a little, you know, if Jamie writes, it's usually worthy, and Sultan writes, and it's a teaching, and amen. And then I'm like, you know, what are my other brothers thinking all day? It's always good to see Papa and his all caps come aboard. I mean, I know that's effort, and it's like, where are my other brothers' efforts who can type? You know, Jeff updates here and there, but it's like, what are you thinking all day? What are your imaginations telling you? What do you have to say? And if it's the Bible, how is it not shared? And if it's not the Bible, how is it not confessed? I just know that God is holding his hands out all day long to an obstinate people who walk in ways not good. They could be confessed that aren't, pursuing their own imaginations. And it's like, you could confess your imagination. You know, most of my testimony has to do with my imagination. And it is humbling. But Isaiah 65:2 is like the opposite of honoring my God, and yet is largely autobiographical for many in the ministry. What could possibly be done about that? Right? Lamentations. It's Isaiah, Jeremiah, Lamentations. Help you out a little. Lamentations 3. I don't know if your heart can be moved to join me in saying, wow, poor God is right. I am sorry, God. That is terrible. I try. Lamentations 3. How great is God? In verse 22 and 23. Because of the Lord's great love, we are not consumed. For his compassions never fail. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. Verse 22. This is how great God is. We can't go on forever, right? Because of the Lord's great love, we are not consumed. Not because God needs something from you. See, that makes him different than the world. A lot of people are married and they stay married because, like, where are they going to go? Well, you know, I did run the numbers on the rent and the car insurance and gas money. And, well, I guess we'll stay together because we can't live apart. It's like, well, that's quite the sexy marriage you have there. Tell me about your friendship with so-and-so. Oh, they're great. You know, they are always encouraging and, yeah, keep going. Oh, and, you know, I mean, they're just always helpful. If I need anything, they're there with it. It's like, I'm a little nervous for that friendship, to be honest with you. I mean, it sounds like a sort of, you know, I like you because I like what you do for me type thing, you know. And we know forever here, or at least we've been taught, that loving those who love you isn't love. That's what Jesus taught. But the Lord isn't that way, and you can honor a God that's not that way, and he might transform you miraculously into someone who isn't that way. Because in verse 22 of Lamentations 3, it says, because of the Lord's great love, we are not consumed. Not because God needs something from you or he thinks you're great. You know, it's not because it's like, well, you know, that would really mess up my plan. I don't really think so. You know, the Bible says it's because of the Lord's great love we are not consumed. And there are many potential consumers, right? I mean, my own imagination running wild would completely consume me as it's consuming you. If I was ping-ponging my brain in accordance with something other than the scriptures, I'm sure I would be toast in a matter of moments. And the consumers are plentiful, not to mention the people and their bright ideas that are horrible and awful, and the ways to walk in that are not right. But because of the Lord's great love, we are not consumed. And the only thing keeping you from being consumed and falling apart is the Lord's great love. Not like you, where he gets anything out of it. And if you honored a God like that, you'd become like that. And you probably serve a God like that for nothing, and you probably serve people for nothing. And you probably never be bent out of shape other than for the people you long for and hurt for, because they really need this. But never because you expected something out of it. For what you did for love and for no other reason. Not out of duty or obligation, or because maybe they'd scratch your back one day. End of verse 22, for his compassions never fail. Not that God can always deliver you, for you would have to be willing to be delivered. But that's quite a statement, that his compassions never fail. That God is always compassionate, always understanding, always compassionate. I mean, they never fail. Finally, well ran dry, done. That's actually not the God I honor and know. You know, the example I'd give you is, I mean, I just die a thousand deaths for people who've left the Lord. It's just like a crushing, crushing thing all the time. I mean, I'm sure I'm not alone, you know. Every time Will Smith's in a movie he's down and out and tortured in soul, I mean, he just reminds me of Michael. You know, I mean, just down and out. I mean, Pursuit of Happiness, 7 pounds. I mean, just a tortured soul. I was just like, hey, I know what it's like to be a tortured soul. And so I have compassion for Michael, but it's like, man, I feel the fellowship with God that the compassion that does not fail is not enough to deliver someone who can't, I don't know, take advantage of it. Please take advantage of my compassion. Please, I beg you. Some of you are like, well, don't take too much advantage. Oh, no, please, take advantage. Get some footing. Get up running. There we go. Hey, amen. Trample all over me. It's fine. But some of us, when we could be compassionate, I think, harden our hearts to feel better about it. You could just be like God. You could honor my God and be like my God and be someone who is like, I'll just always be hurt. I'll just have compassions that never fail, and so I'll always be bummed for people. And rather than, well, that Michael had a chance, he just squandered it. It's like, really? I mean, you feel that way? I mean, you'd learn that from me or my God. Where did we learn that? Which imaginary Zeus figure came into your life and gave you that one that you didn't confess? You lay on your bed thinking your thoughts. These compassions, verse 23, are new every morning. Really? And how come I'm getting 18 thank yous a day from the sisters? A little bit of salt here and there. I'm not picking on your sisters. Hey, fess it up. I think it's Plum with the novel idea that I, at this point, I am a fan of. And when the Wallaces come to town, it's Lindsay night out. I guess the bros, I don't know, do gardening or something. I don't know. We'll have to come up with, we'll go look at dresses or something. I don't know. We'll do what bad bros do. But anyway, I like the fellowship the sisters have. That's nice. That's bound in heaven. They had a great old time. Partied up, send the pictures of thank yous, raise the roof. My brothers who are mute can be mute at home, you know? So right now, Plum has the lead idea. Because of this verse. These compassions that never fail are new every morning. Huh? Like, why am I not hearing a lot about them? It's like, I'm hearing a problem this and problem that. It's like, where are these compassions that never fail and are in fact new every morning? How come there's hardly a blip on the screen about them? Honor my God, this is how it is. I mean, come on. What do I hear? Godlessness, sin, and trouble. You know, it doesn't always have to be that way. I mean, I could hear about the new compassion from this morning. I'm trying. Great is your faithfulness. Oh, I'd say. You know, in John 8:49, Jesus said, it's awesome. I mean, Jesus said, I honor my Father and you dishonor me. Isn't that just how it is? I mean, for those who serve God like Jesus did, we honor the Father and then other people dishonor us. It's like, what a tragedy that is. Can I just get you to cross over and join me in honoring God rather than having something with me going on? That's all I'm trying to do. I'm trying to deliver you to do what I do, to hook you on up, rather than have you have issues with me while I'm busy honoring God. And that was Jesus' deal in John 8:49. I honor the Father and you dishonor me. Another message at another time, but as Paul wrote to the Corinthians, he said, I fear that, you know, I will not be as you want me to be, and I fear you won't be as I want you to be when I come visit. And that'll always be the case. You know, I'm not going to be as you want me to be, and you're not going to be as I want you to be. But I'm good with that. We're all brothers, and it's all fine. I just want you to honor my God, and we're rolling, rather than have some issue between you and me matter. Like Acts 14. Or Matthew 23. Great is your faithfulness. That'll always be the case. So you could start tomorrow morning. All right, these never-failing compassions are new every morning. It's a new morning. I'm going to battle them sisters. All right. Because great is your faithfulness. It'll happen again tomorrow morning. The morning after that. The one after that. I have started doing something that I have not been able to do in years. I have books and books where I would write every day, and I have started writing every day again. Amen. You could do that. You got time. I know you got time. Revelation chapter 4. I'm going to test you. All right. For those of you who are going, I do honor your God, bro. Let's go eat. It's like the hot dogs are here if you're hungry. Where did they go? They're gone. Oh, they're back in the car. Papa will give you keys, hook you up. You need to eat. Revelation 4. Work with me. This is... I'm going to test you. The throne in heaven is an interesting place. Sultan and I have fellowship that the day will come and we just hang out there. And that would be good. And there are like no pools to clean and there's no hobbling to do. See, he cleans pools and I hobble. We have equal gigs. In Revelation 4, there are these living creatures around the throne. In verse 8 to 11, it's so funny, I can't read this without singing Jamie's song. I'm going to sing the Isaiah version. Bear with me, I got an F in singing in seventh grade. Each of the four living creatures had six wings and was covered with eyes all around, even under his wings. Day and night they never stopped saying, holy, holy, holy is the Lord Almighty, who was and is to come. Then Jamie go, holy, holy, holy is the Lord Almighty, who was and is to come. Now, check this out. That goes day and night and never stops forever. End of verse 8. Never. But I know some of you. Jamie's like on the 17th round. I was like, my goodness, isn't it time for dinner? I mean, how many times are we going to do this? You are caught naked. You are revealed as not honoring my God. The reality is that in heaven, and it might be a boring place for you because there's not like TV and stuff maybe. I mean, like no TV? Now, is it just reruns or is it like current stuff? Like if I die today, do I get to see like the Super Bowl or do I only get to see old stuff? I was like, you're talking to me. About that. No, you're not talking to me about that. I know what you're doing. You're at home in your own imagination thinking about it. Well, we don't want to die yet because there's some good stuff coming. I know all about you. Anyway, check this out. In heaven, this song is going on day and night, never stopping. Now check it out. There are 24 elders hanging out around the throne as well. These are honored places. Verse 9, whenever the living creatures give glory, honor, and thanks to him who sits on the throne and who lives forever and ever. That's a long song, by the way. Verse 10, the 24 elders fall down before him who sits on the throne and worship him who lives forever and ever. That's a long time. It keeps reminding you, letting you know your heart's not right, you bored people. They lay their crowns before the throne and say, and now this is Jamie, I'm sunk here. You need a song for this because I'm just sunk. I have to read it. It just doesn't work. Verse 11, the elders. This is all they do forever. Forever, because I love the fact that verse 9 says, whenever the living creatures do this, well, it just said the living creatures do this day and night. They never stop going, never stop saying. So, forever. So the elders, no potty breaks, no, you know, well, I wanted to catch some of that rerun too. No, your gig is always forever. After these people do their line, you say, you are worthy, O Lord and God, to receive glory and honor and power, for you created all things, and by your will they were created and have their being. Let me go back up to the top. So, I want to know, really, this holy, holy thing that Jamie put to music, and that is going on nonstop in heaven, is that boring to you after a while? I don't know, after 17 years, are you like, jeez. Change the channel. Because I am not. Right? Sol and I are like looking forward to that. I believe you'll have a room there. Jesus saying, in my Father's house there are many rooms. If it were not true, I would have told you. I believe that you probably won't be one of the creatures. Right? I think those are probably made separately. But will you be like, oh, amen, I don't have to hang out here all the time? I don't know. You easily bored. See, I see you on New Year's Eve and Christmas Eve. And here's a little kid opening a little present from somebody. You don't even, you wear out. Oh. You mean Jazar's going to open another thing? See, I'm all in. I could do that forever. And do, right? Jazar, you're up. Who's it from? Because though it's round six, the parents are like, what? Oh, who's it from? Oh, it's from the Meritados. I could do that forever, but some of you, I'm sorry, was there something exciting going on with you over there? Did you get bored with Jazar opening a gift? Did you? How bored are you going to be in heaven? You might as well hit OBT tonight and cash it out, man. Get your jollies on earth and hang out with the pitchfork guy and play fireworks for eternity, because you're going to be bored to death with this stuff. For all you know, they're going to sing this song and open presents. And for all you know, like these creatures with eyes under their wings and everywhere else are going to see you bored. As you sit at the throne, oh, I thought I put my time in. Oh. And one of the wings is going to say, you yawning? It's like, oh. It's like, I'm not going there anymore. I'm just saying, then, you know, you just wear thin, you wear out, you wear down, and you miss out what's really going on that doesn't have anything to do with you and your ways and your imaginations and the Zeus Hermes worship crowd that presents bad ideas to you. Right? And you're easily enticed and excited by things like, hey, I'm sorry, the examples that came out today are basketball and ESPN and trucks doing flips. I mean, I'm sorry, you know, but these aren't even my children. But like Nyla working a sparkler beats the truck doing flips and basketball and ESPN. I'm sorry. Not even my child, but Nyla having a moment's joy working a sparkler, I'm all in. There is something dumb going on? That's great. Let dumb people view it. You bored with this song? Yeah? You can go half hour, brother. Let them leave. I gotta leave. I gotta pee. Yeah, y'all gotta do something. Like Shao even mentioned, you know, Christmas Eve, New Year's Eve. I mean, it's like, when we have things going, we don't pee. We don't have to get a drink. We don't have to get something to eat. You don't either. You just want to, and it's a good excuse. Because you can come out of the restroom and circle around to the kitchen. Oh, my goodness, someone else in here. How are you doing? Yeah, amen. Amen. They done over there yet? Around 9. Whenever the living creatures give glory, honor, and thanks to him who sits on the throne, who lives forever and ever, verse 9, the 24 elders fall down before him who sits on the throne, worship him. Verse 11, you are worthy, our Lord and God, to receive glory and honor and power. You really believe that? Is this a boring speech? Because I got news for you. This is going forever, 24-7, forever too. It's like, oh, James, I'll have to like suck up to God here. You are worthy, our Lord and God, to receive glory and honor and power. Hey, if you don't live it and believe it, that's going to get boring after a while. Are those boring words? I want to read them 100 times to you right now. Oh, no, please. Glory, honor, and power. You were revealed Christmas Eve, New Year's Eve, and every other day too. The ways that are not good and the imagination. Joshua 24. The imagination of you that I don't read about. My gig, the two options I have for the ministry, I read them both. They're both in the Bible, and they're both options. What do you got going? Joshua 24. For those of you who failed the test miserably, and I'm talking miserably, like 0 for 2, that's 0%, that's an F minus. What about 1 for 2? That's, as they would say, still an F minus. I like the song, but the spoken word isn't as exciting. Joshua 24. You have a shot at it here, and then I'm going to go home, right? You bring your own depth to the message today. I'm just laying it out to you. I'm trying to clear the riffraff out of the way between you and the one Father in heaven and the Master in heaven and you know, the real teacher, all right? We're trying to clear that out. I'm sure it's not clear at all because you got them right back on the board, right? You just take them right out of the trash can and stick them right back. Who threw away my pieces, you know? And it's like that little football game that vibrates and, you know, you hope for the best. And that's your spiritual life. Yeah, I just tried to clear the board, perhaps unsuccessfully. And also the Zeus Hermes crown, I mean, we're convicted about that, right? These are just bad ideas all. We can clear that board off. We could do it. We could do it today. Off. And we could say, wow, God, I mean, Pancake treats Trent better than I treat you. Bad, bad. I'm broken. Poor God, right? You could be convicted. I don't know, maybe. And you could start tomorrow counting for God's compassions that are brand new to you tomorrow morning. You could do that. And you could be humble about failing the test. It's like, so what else is in heaven for me? Woo. And having failed the test, there's hope for you in Joshua 24 that I'm not going to help you much with. I know you're going to be like, well, how do I do that? I don't know. Well, I do know, and it's already been preached and told, and I'm not going to tell you. So don't do it. Joshua 24, one verse, verse 23. People say they want to serve God, verse 23. Now then, said Joshua, throw away the foreign gods that are among you and yield your hearts to the Lord, the God of Israel. Now then, said Joshua, throw away the foreign gods that are among you. Throw them away. How? You decide. Which foreign gods? You discern. Among me? Oh, there are many. You figure them out. And yield your hearts to the Lord. The thing that should be encouraging is somehow there must be a series of events that make this possible. Yield your hearts to the Lord. Zay was doing some driving today, and he was calling out the signs. yield, so he didn't stop. He just took a looky-see and was ready to stop, yielded, and went. Zay's been driving a total of, 25 minutes of his life. How long you been a disciple? I mean, it's like, you could, I don't want to help you too much, but you could ask yourself in every situation, is this a yielded heart before the Lord in what I am doing right now? Has the Lord, in fact, instructed me to do this, to be here? Is this the result of my yielding to the Lord? Has He placed me here? You see how easily you'd get out of all those New Year's, Christmas Eve snafus. And who knows how many multitudes of snafus at home. And you'd be out, right? The call is for you to yield your hearts to the Lord, the God of Israel. The one God. Yield your hearts. You wrestle that out. You figure that out. That is your only hope. You do that. You yield your heart. You will long for that temple in heaven. And you'll say, you know, hey, I'm going to fly down to the temple. I'll probably be back in 20 years. So if you need me, you can come on down there and sing along with me, I guess. I'll be back up to watch home videos of Jador at age one in 20 years. But with an unyielded heart, it's like, oh, I'll be there 5 minutes, and then I gotta roll. Time and opportunity have presented historically for this ministry and my time in different times and different places in ways that are weird now and not good. As I shared with Shao, you know, my next door neighbor, Mr. Allen, I think one of the highlights, I hate to speak for him, I think one of the highlights for him is that we went to a movie one night once in the 11 years we've lived there. And he's always wanted to just go out again. He's got nothing going. He just wants to go out again. I'm like, man, it is almost inconceivable and unimaginable that I would have the opportunity to go to see a movie with Mr. Allen. And yet it's not right. I should have that opportunity and look forward to maybe getting it again. We get hard-pressed season to season. Different things happen. Different things come. Take Sultan, for example. I don't get with Sultan. I used to go to lunch with people. Chad and I, you know, remember the old days at Hops, the place they closed because we don't go anymore. They said, we're closing then. Forget it. I don't get with Sultan. I don't even really talk to him on the phone much. There's just no opportunity. I don't walk and pray with him. I mean, there's just no, when are we going to do that? But though he's got a lot to learn and some completeness to get, and though he's being completely ripped off because I have done those things with brothers historically, you know, I do believe that he honors my God, that the God I honor and worship, he actually honors and worships, making our brotherhood different. That he does not pursue brotherhood with me through me, but through God. And though the message was never recorded 12 years ago, meet me in the Lord is still the case. It was preached. Pat probably has the notes. You know the big backpack Pat has? The notes for meet me in the Lord are probably in there. We could get them. But I so appreciate Sultan worshiping the real God. He paid a lot of prices to get there because he fiddled around with some false ones at great cost. And I regard everybody with regard to their relationship with my God, not with regard to their relationship with me. Interesting, huh? But it's true. See, I regard you with regard to your relationship to God. that tells me a lot more about you than your relationship with me. And to be honest, your relationship with me has everything to do with your relationship with God and little, if anything, to do with your relationship with me. Rewind is the best thing I can offer you. And that's the way it is. This is a ministry of God, not a ministry of men. It must be that way and stay that way. It should be that way for you. There's much else to tell you, and we'll do it another day. Let's pray. Father, thank you for a wonderful day in Orlando, Florida today. Thank you, Father, for the special opportunities we've had to meet and gather and serve each other and love each other in unique ways. Thank you, Father, for a perhaps today renewed opportunity to wipe the slate clean and get to our relationship with God, upon which we can build relationships with each other that are just different. Father, I love our ministry. I love the fact that the sisters marvel at what they have. The sisters are very vital, Father. They're the least troublesome part of our ministry. And I like the Sherry plan. Father, I thank you for them. Their gratitude and their thankfulness just flows out. In no way, Father, do I want to say, sisters, stop saying thank you for every little thing. I don't want to do that, Father, and I'm not doing that in disguise. Father, I just know that gratitude bubbles out of their hearts and in letter form out of their fingers, and it's great. How much gratitude should be bubbling through the brotherhood, and we're searching for a drop. But that's okay, Father. I appreciate their heart for each other, and I appreciate how they are reverent to you, Father, in piecing them together. Even Mimi's like, so how do we get together? That's just so true. And it is so much you. Father, for the brothers, I pray that they will really seek you and love each other. It is that simple. And that you will build a spiritual house with them that is beyond their imagination, and then they will gladly surrender their imaginations to the trash heap and settle and take the reality in Christ that is more than they could ask or imagine. Father, I pray people will join me in honoring you. Father, I got nothing to offer other than the insanity I have freely confessed. And I pray that people will honor you as a deliverance to their entire act. We love you, Father. We look forward to the fellowship tonight. In Jesus' name, amen.